The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is our epistle lesson, James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, be doers of the word and not hearers only. As to the hearing and doing the word of God, there are two types of people. There are those who claim to be doers, but will not hear the word, and those who claim to be hearers, but will not do according to the word. The first type are those who claim to be doers of the divine word, but refuse to hear. They do not go to church. They never attend divine services. However, if you approach them on the subject of church going and tell them that they are doing wrong because they neglect the divine service, they will fly up and say, "What? Doing wrong? Am I not as good as you church-going people? Am I not better than those hypocrites who go to church every Sunday and do all kinds of wicked things during the week? I do not need to go to church and be told what I must do to please God. I do according to the word of God. I lead an honest life. I do that which is right, and I challenge anyone to show me where I am doing wrong. When I was a child, I had to go to church and to Sunday school and learn religion, and it did me no harm. Let children learn all they can, but when a man knows what he is about and what God requires of him, why should he go to church and hear the word of God?" Most of those who do not go to church speak in this way. Others say, "It is true, I do not go to church, but I pray at home. And is not that as good as if I went to church?" All these people are wrong when they claim that they are doing good according to God's word. How can they say that they do according to the word, according to the Lord's word, which says in Luke chapter 11 verse 28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And likewise in Hebrews chapter 10 verses 23 to 25, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching." The day approaching, of course, means the last day. The second type are those who claim to be hearers, but will not do according to the word. They go to church, they come for the Lord's Supper, but how do they treat the word of God which is proclaimed to them? They disregard it altogether. They neither let the word of God bring them to a true living faith, nor do they heed those admonitions by which they are exhorted to abstain from sin and to lead a holy life. In spite of all the sermons which they hear, they stick to their old sins and do not make the slightest effort to be doers of the word which they hear. To these latter people, the admonition of our text is addressed. So let us consider the admonition, be doers of the word and not hearers only. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, what this admonition teaches us. The apostle says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. What does this admonition teach us? The common explanation is that when we hear the word of God, it is telling us what to do to please God. For example, when we go to church and hear the law of God proclaimed to us, when in the sermon certain sins are denounced or certain good works are advised, we should not have these things said to us in vain, but heed the words and put into practice what we have heard. The common explanation is that we should hear and do what God says to us in his holy law. But this explanation is not quite correct, as we shall readily see. This admonition implies also that we should do according to the precepts of the law, but the context shows that the first and the next thing which the apostle has in his mind when he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, is not that we should do the works of the law. What does the apostle mean by the word of God, which we should not only hear, but also do? The word of God, we know, is twofold. It is law and it is gospel. Does the apostle mean the law? It cannot be. For by the little word but, he connects it with the former. And in the words immediately preceding our text, he speaks of the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, is the law able to save our souls? Can the law bring us to heaven? No, only the gospel can do that. By the law is the knowledge of sin, and the law condemns us. It will never help us into eternal life. Furthermore, in the latter part of our epistle, the apostle refers to the word of God, which we should do as the perfect law of liberty. Now, can that which we call the law of God, the commandments of God, lead us to the liberty of God's children? No, only the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ can do that. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 36, therefore if the Son makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. See, my friends, that by the word, in this connection, the apostle cannot mean the law of our own works and deeds. By the word which we should do, he means the gospel of God's works and deeds for us. That in his dear Son, he has loved us from eternity, has forgiven us all our sins in Christ, and has given us eternal life through his name. But how do we do this word of the gospel? How can we do that which is proclaimed to us of the Saviour Jesus? Christ answers this question when he says in John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And when at a certain time the Jews asked Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. When the keeper of the prison at Philippi asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must we do to be saved? They answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household. See then, faith it is, believing in Christ, whereby we do the word of God, which in the gospel he has proclaimed to us. The apostle's admonition, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, means to say as much as this. When the gospel is proclaimed to you, who want to be Christians, when the glorious message is preached to you, that God does not want to have you eternally lost in your sins, that from eternity as he has had mercy on you, that he sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins on the cross, to atone for your transgressions, and to obtain for you eternal life, when this precious gospel is proclaimed to you, it will not suffice that you merely sit in your pew in the church and hear and hear and hear with bodily ears. What are you profited if you be ever so regular and attendant at the house of God, and if your Christianity consists in nothing more than to hear? What are you profited if the word of God moves and touches you only for a moment while you hear? If for a minute or two your soul is impressed with the wonderful love of God in his dear Son, if the sermon moves you to tears, and all this is but a transient feeling, a passing emotion without any further consequences. No, you must be a doer of the word which you hear. The gospel which is proclaimed to you in its truth and purity, you must receive into a good and honest heart. You must receive it in the faith and remain steadfast in the faith. When you are told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, you must apply this glorious news to your own person and learn to say, oh, what a merciful God! he has saved me also. When you are told that Jesus receives sinners, you must see the Saviour coming to you, extending his hand to receive you, and joyfully you must say, Jesus, you are mine forever. When you are told that Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that on the cross he died for all, you must appreciate Christ's great work for the whole fallen world, and appropriate to your own person, and triumphantly say, Glory to God, I am saved, my transgression is forgiven, my sin is covered, I have been reconciled to God in Christ Jesus, my Mediator and Redeemer, heaven is mine. You see, my friends, the person who in this way believes the word of the gospel and relies upon the word of the gospel is a doer of the word, and not a hearer only. And this is what the admonition of our text teaches us today. And now in the second place, let us see why we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. The first reason is because we deceive ourselves if we are hearers only and not doers. The apostle distinctly says that by hearing only and not doing, you are deceiving yourselves. And then he adds, For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The apostle is saying to us, If you look into the mirror, your own picture is before you. You see yourself. But when you go away from the mirror, the picture is wiped away, and you forget how you look. Now this is the very state of the person who is a hearer and not a doer of the word. As long as he looks into the mirror of the word, as long as he hears the word, he sees himself as he should be in the form of a true Christian, in the form in which the word pictures the true Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He may also perform all kinds of good resolves for the moment. But when the sound of the word have died away, when from the church he passes out into the world, he forgets his good resolves, and the true Christian's picture which he saw passes out of his mind. So in spite of his church going, he is and remains an unbeliever. He belongs to those of whom Jesus says in the parable of the sower. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Does not the apostle speak the truth when of such hearers he claims that they deceive themselves because they refuse to do the word of the gospel and do not come to faith? The second reason why we should be doers and not hearers only is because no other way can we be profited by the word than if we do according to it. The apostle says, But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law of liberty, as we have heard before, is the gospel. The apostle therefore is saying to us that the person is only truly profited by the word which he hears, who does not forget, but ponders in his heart what he has heard, who is induced by the preaching of the word to believe in Jesus Christ, and endures in the faith unto the end. And what is the profit which he receives? He is blessed in what he does, says the apostle. That is, because his deed, as we have heard before, is his faith. He is blessed in his faith, for by his faith he has forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. The third reason why we should be doers and not hearers only is because only the doers have the true religion, or because only the believers can do good works and lead a God-pleasing life. What pleases God, that pleases me, a hymnist once wrote. We have heard before that the first and the next thing which the apostle is teaching us when he admonishes us to be doers of the word and not hearers only is that we should believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that implies at the same time that we should do according to the precepts of the law. For how can a true believer ignore the law of God and refuse to do the will of God? A true believer remains a sinner as long as he lives. This is true. But he is not a reckless sinner. He does not sin because he finds pleasure in sinning, but because his flesh is weak and he cannot help it. His desire is to be without sin, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. He is a doer, not of the gospel only by faith, but also of the law, and he endeavours to please God in his daily life. At the end of our epistle, the apostle therefore speaks of the religion of those who are doers, and not hearers only. He says, "If any among you thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." How then do we show and manifest that our religion is true? What are the marks by which it is shown that our religion is not a self-deception and a work of hypocrisy? These marks are the deeds which, from a true faith, we perform to show that we love the neighbour. This is not true religion. To be an outward member of the church and to count yourself with the Christians, to be a regular attendant at divine services and to talk Christianity and then do as you please in the world, to conform yourself to the world and to sin with the children of this world, not to try to follow God's precepts in his word, and to walk your own way without love and sympathy for the neighbour. If we do not want to deceive our own heart and make our religion vain, we must bridle our tongue. We must be careful that we do not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, or defame our neighbour, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. And we must do good to others whenever we have the opportunity. Visit the fatherless and the widows who are so greatly in need of comfort and help. Visit them to console them and to help them in their want and distress. And keep ourselves unspotted from the world, abstaining from the world's evil lusts, and walking as the children of God. Then our religion will not be in vain. May the Lord grant us his grace, that both as to the law and as to the gospel, we be doers of the word and not hearers only. May we in true faith receive the word of the gospel to the salvation of our souls, and that in our daily life we strive to do God's will to prove before the world that our religion is not in vain. As Scripture says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.